You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, we started teaching this morning on the gifts of the Spirit, and we're going to continue to teach along those lines. In fact, we'll probably teach on this for several services because I want to get into the gifts, what they are, how they operate. I mentioned this morning, there's a whole chapter here in the chapter 12 on the gifts and chapter 14 on the operation of the gifts. Actually, chapter 13, which we talk about as being the love chapter, was in context, was placed in there concerning the gifts of the Spirit. It's placed in there concerning the operation of the gifts. In other words, we ought to move in the gifts and flow in the gifts in love. If I speak with tongues, men and of angels have not love, then I'm sound of brass tinkling cymbals, what the Bible says. Or if I have faith to move mountains and have not love. So even when we talk about that love chapter, and everybody quotes that love chapter, everybody talks about that love chapter, but really that love chapter, yes, in a general sense, does apply to love in general, and it's a great teaching, and I agree wholeheartedly. But in context, it's between the 12th and the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And the purpose of it was to keep everybody in unity, because what the church at Corinth had a problem with was not the gifts. What they had a problem with was disunity. They were going into little cliques. They were divisive. They were exalting one person above another. Nowhere does Paul tell them to not use the gifts. He just tells them to do it decently and in order. And he tells them to do it to the excelling or the edifying of the body of Christ. And then he says to do them in love. That's what that love chapter is about. It's like sandwiched in between the gifts and the operation of the gifts. Love is what makes the world go round. Are you with me? And so that's the direct context of that chapter. And yes, in a general sense, it's about love in all the way around when we talk about love. But when you take it apart, you look at it even, and I'm not getting into that tonight, it says that love doesn't take offense, it doesn't envy. He's talking about being envious of each other in the gifts. And taking offense in the gifts. Hello, doesn't seek its own, doesn't exalt itself, it exalts the whole church, as it were. Hello. That was really the context of it. And so we've pulled it out because Scripture is so powerful and so rich in meaning, we've pulled it out, and just when we talk about love, we use that love chapter. And that's right, and that's good. I agree with that. But it also had another meaning. Originally, it was used to address the jealousy that was going on, to address the envy and the offenses that were being taken and the misuse and abuse of the gifts at the church of Corinth. That's why that was put in there. Hello. Just think about it. If you don't believe that, well, just read it. It's right there, 12th, 13th, 14th chapter. It's all part of a whole teaching that he's doing here. So he starts out, he tells us he doesn't want us to be ignorant of the gifts, to understand what they are and how they operate. And as I said this morning, it's sad, but generally that is what we are the most ignorant of in most churches. And I say that about us, the church, Christians, believers, be that Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Assembly of God, Church of Christ, Catholic. I mean, those within the Christian faith. Some of those do believe in the gifts. Some of them do not. Some of them believe they've all passed away. Some of them believe they're still here. Some of them couldn't explain to you one gift if they had to because they never heard any teaching on it. Some of them never even touched these chapters at all. Are you with me? And I don't say that to blast them. I'm talking to, if you're listening to this by TV, then we love people of all flavors of the faith, of Christianity. If you're a Christian, you're a believer, you're going to heaven. You don't go to heaven because of the gifts. You don't go to heaven because you speak in tongues. You get to speak in tongues because you're going to heaven. You don't have to speak in tongues to go to heaven. You could accept Jesus and never be baptized in the Holy Ghost, never speak in tongues and still go to heaven. The only way you're going to go to heaven is by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Are you with me? But there is an experience for those that are Christians, once you have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, called the baptism with the Holy Spirit. That was shown to us in great detail in Acts 2 and Acts 10 and Acts 19, where they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. They weren't saved in those accounts. This was after they were saved. And so it's another experience, and we're talking about some of that when we talk about the gifts, supernatural experiences here. In fact, where it says, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. I just love that, ignorant. You know, they don't know how to say that up north. You can only really say ignorant down south. That's the only way. You're ignorant of something, you're a heathen if you're not saved. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. Another universal word is ranch. You know, when I go to Australia, I explain that to them. That's a Texas word, ranch. Ranch is what you have cows on. Ranch is what you use to work on a car with. Ranch is what you do with your hair once you put shampoo in it. You ranch it out. Moving right along. Okay. The Amplified says, instead of spiritual gifts, special endowments of supernatural energy. I like that. Because that's really what they are. These gifts are they're extra. They're supernatural energy. That's when God comes on the scene, does what you can't do. Amen? And it's not something you carry around with you all the time. They just kind of come and go, you know, as the Spirit wills. But thank God they're available. Thank God they're for today. In fact, Paul prayed in this book, 1st chapter, 7th verse, I went over that this morning, that he prayed that they would come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord. So the event that's going to take place that's going to change the gifts in the sense that they will cease to be or cease to be needed will be the coming of the Lord. That's going to change everything when Jesus comes back. But until he comes back, we still need the gifts. We still need the healings. We still need miracles. Because we still get sick and we still have needs. Now when you go to heaven, you don't need miracles. You don't need healings. No hospitals up there. No funerals up there. Nobody's ever sick. Nobody ever dies. Are you with me? And everybody understands each other. Hello. We all speak the same language. You don't need tongues even. You'll be in complete communication unity with each other. So it's not necessary in that environment there in heaven. But it is necessary here. We do need it here. And this is what he's talking about. So he talks about how there are different gifts, one spirit. Thank God. Got a lot of different gifts, but you know what? It's one spirit. And not specifically, but you can kind of make an analogy. There's a lot of different churches, but it's the same spirit. Are you with me? I mean, thank God for our brothers and sisters and all the different churches around our community and our town today that are meeting together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can pick your friends. You are stuck with your relatives. So you might as well get used to it. Not everybody's going to believe exactly like you do, but if we believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior and we put our faith in Him, then we're Christians, we're believers. Amen? And we have to recognize that unifying force of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Concerning the gifts, the unifying force is the Spirit that gave the gifts. These nine gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10. So differences of gifts, same Spirit, differences of ministries or offices, but the same Lord, just like, and I mentioned that, Ephesians 4, 11, where it says he gave some apostles, prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We call that the fivefold ministry. And apostles are still around today, and they'll be around until we all come to the unity of the faith, is what the Scripture tells us. Hello. Some people say, well, there are no apostles anymore, no more prophets anymore. All we have is evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Well, I don't know where we get this idea. First of all, when you try to build doctrine on history, you've got shaky ground there. History is very subjective. But if you build it on the Word, you'll always be on solid ground. As far as the Word's concerned, it never has passed away. God didn't talk about it passing away. There are still apostles, still prophets, still pastors, evangelists, and teachers. The Scripture says if you'll follow that teaching, Ephesians 4:11, say through about 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Now, I don't know if you've noticed we're not all in real unity right now in the faith. I'm talking about Christians. We don't all meet together. Are you with me? We got churches all over everywhere. Thank God for these churches, but you know what? One day we'll all be together. Amen. Until that happens, we'll have apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Are you with me? Amen. Till Jesus comes back, we'll have gifts of the Spirit. There'll be an operation until then. So you can just look around and look at the context of the Scripture and tell we still need the gifts. We still need the offices. But even though those offices are different, they're still, it's the same Lord. The gifts are different, it's the same Spirit. Then we minister different. I'm giving you in a nutshell what I taught this morning. I know you're thinking, please don't review for another 30 minutes. I'm notorious for that. But I'll try not to. We operate different. We preach different. We minister different. And that's okay. You know, everybody's personality is different. Everybody's gifting is different. Everybody's emphasis seemingly is different. Some people do a little more preaching than teaching. Some a little more teaching than preaching. Some walk a little more. Some never leave the pulpit. I've just always been a little too hyper. I'm like a high-strung horse. I got to get out here and walk around a little bit. But I'm not real high-strung because I don't run from one side to the other. And I don't sling my arms and spit cotton. Some people do that, and that's fine. So I like good preaching. Are you with me? I'm just not one in that sense, you know. But I love that, and that's just wonderful. Everybody's different. And you know what? Some people love that, and some people don't love that. Some people like a little humor. Some people don't like a little humor. Some people like a little more formality. Some people don't like a little more formality. But, you know, get somewhere where you can flow and where you can grow. Are you with me?
Yes.
And where you can get with the program. There's somebody out there that can minister to you. There is. And don't be critical of those that don't minister to you. Just love them and pray for them. God's got a great variety out here. Different operations. But you know what? It's the same God that worketh all in all. And thank God for it. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I feel like a nut. Sometimes I don't. You know, that's just, we're all different. Some of these things are subjective. Your personality, your taste, your background. I mean, we got cowboy churches. We got motorcycle churches. Are you with me? Hello. And I think that's great. That's wonderful. Get on your motorcycle and ride down there to the altar and turn your life over to Jesus. Ride your horse right on up there and lasso that preacher and get him to pray with you. You know, hallelujah. Whatever works. Are you with me? So we see here the Spirit, Jesus the Son, and God the Father. I love that. There's the Trinity right there. Right there in that same chapter. No, just a few verses. All this is done. All these manifestations. All these differences. Celebrate the difference. Are for that each one of us to profit by. I love that. God wants to hit us. He wants to reach us. He wants to touch us. He wants to change our lives. He wants to benefit us. And He's got a great variety to do that. Hallelujah. I love that. I love all the variety in the body of Christ. We need it. We've got to have it. In a church setting, are you kidding? We're not going to be all alike. The Bible does not say we're the same. He loves us the same. We're equally loved. We're equally important. But we are very different. We have different passions. We have different desires. We have different gifts. That's what makes it work. I mean, in an orchestra, you've got people that do all kinds of different things in an orchestra. You can't have everybody playing the drums. Somebody's got to play the piano. Somebody's got to play the brass. Somebody's got to play the stringed instruments. But you put it all together under order and leadership, all of a sudden, it is a beautiful thing. And that's why church can just be a wonderful thing when you get everybody together doing the different things that we do. And the gifts, well, they're different too. That's fine. We can't just emphasize major on one above another. We need them all. And nobody's any better because they're used in one and not used in another, or you're not used at all in one. Oh, big deal. Don't go there. When the gift manifested that we all profit by it, it's to bless everybody. I tell you, when somebody comes up here and gets saved, it blessed me. I mean, I know they get saved, but I go out crying. So touched by that. Made my day. Hallelujah. Somebody gives a testimony. It blesses me. I mean, we're all blessed by that. We weep with those that weep. We rejoice with those that rejoice. We got to get this picture, the bigger picture than just ourselves.
Amen.
Amen. There's a whole lot more going on than just me. And so the big picture is the body of Christ. And here he's talking about the gifts. He's very cautious. He's very careful as he explains these, that they're all different, but they're all come from the same Spirit. He's very cautious to bring them in unity with this, not exalt one above another. Hello. And get them to see that they got to work together. Nobody can take over, as it were. You're not supposed to take over. That's not what it's supposed to be. And so he says here in the 8th verse, for to one is given by the Spirit, one is given the word of wisdom. Everybody say the word of wisdom. Not all wisdom, not wisdom in general, but the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom through the Spirit to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Word of wisdom, I believe, is predictive. You might say, well, I thought that was prophecy. Well, actually, prophecy, simple, general prophecy according to Scripture, just edifies, encourages, and exhorts. That's according to 1 Corinthians 14 chapter. And we'll go over that later. You know, here's what happens. Sometimes the gifts flow together. And sometimes the one vehicle, he'll use prophecy to bring forth a word of wisdom or bring forth a word of knowledge. Someone may have a tongue interpretation, or someone may prophesy over someone and just be a word of encouragement. That's the general way that prophecy comes, according to Scripture. He that prophesieth edifies, comforts, and exhorts, what the Bible says. That's general prophecy. But then there could be a word of knowledge in there where something no one else knew that was going on in that person's life that was said, and the vehicle of prophecy had the word of knowledge in it. Just like I like coffee. Anybody like coffee?
Amen.
I go to Starbucks and get me a cup of coffee. I love Starbucks. I love coffee. I love Starbucks. This goes hand in hand. But sometimes I will get coffee that's called a latte. That means it has milk in it. It doesn't have a lot of milk in it. It just has a little milk in it. Why they call it a latte, because it's not that lot. I always get the small one. But anyway, and the small is the tall, in case you don't know. If you want a tall, you want a small, you have to get the tall. If you want a medium, we can get the grande. If that won't confuse you, I won't know what will. But anyway, the vehicle of coffee sometimes can have, I'll put a sweet load in mine. Well, now, if you want to get down to it, that's a latte with sweet and low in it. But we generally just call it coffee. You might like to drink hot tea. You put any sugar in your tea? If you drink hot tea, okay. You wouldn't say that's tea with sugar every time you talk about it. You'd just say, give me a cup of tea. That's the vehicle. Tea's the vehicle that we use. And we'll put sugar in it. And sometimes we'll put a little milk in it. But we just call it a cup of tea. How do you take your coffee? You take it black? Take a little sugar? Take a little milk in it? You know, but we still call it coffee. You drink coffee. I drink coffee. But I dare say if we start asking everybody, we don't just drink coffee. It generally has something in it. And then some of us do just, some of us are purists, and just drink the coffee. Ruin that coffee with sweet and low in sugar and milk? What are you talking about? Ruin a good cup of coffee. That's like putting ketchup on a steak, you know. Anyway. So prophecy, when the prophets prophesied, of course, many times there were predictions in the prophecy. Like the whole book of Revelation is a great prophecy. A lot of predictions in that book, see? And then Daniel the prophet, Ezekiel, and so on and so forth. So we think of prophecy just all of a sudden in our head. We think of it, prophecy as prediction. But really, prophecy is not prediction, according to 1 Corinthians 14 chapter. It edifies, it comforts, and exhorts. However, when a man or woman stands up by the Spirit of God and prophesies, he or she can have something predictive in it. Just like coffee can have sugar in it. And it can't have milk in it. The vehicle of prophecy was the way it was presented. Sometimes the gifts work together. So that, I think sometimes the confusion comes from that because they'll say, well, he had a prophecy. What did he predict? Well, he didn't predict anything. He just encouraged and he edified someone. Someone God wanted to comfort and encourage with a word or a prophecy. But there was no word of knowledge in there or no word of wisdom in there. It was just an encouragement. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so, we're going to get into that when we get into the 14th chapter. We'll see that. And I think this helps because sometimes we're confused about the gifts and what they are. So he says this. He says, one is given the word of wisdom, and I believe that's future tense. I believe that's instructive. If you go through what wisdom is, what the Bible says wisdom is in James and what Jesus said it was concerning those that heard his word and did those words. There was instruction. There was something future in it. And then a word of knowledge, that's present tense. That would be something you just know, but you wouldn't know it any other way. You know, one time I was in Victoria, Texas. I was preaching down in Victoria, Texas years ago. In fact, it was right before I went on one of my trips to India. So it was 1980. And I was praying. I was staying with a couple there, and I was going to preach that day, and I was praying about the trip. I'd been praying for about an hour or two. I'd been praying a long time about the trip. I was really praying because I was going to have to go by myself and I was going to be gone 6 weeks. And so, Amanda had just come into this world. She was how old?
Just 5 or 6 weeks old.
5 or 6 weeks old. Anyway, no, that was the second trip, excuse me. But I went two times in 1980. Yeah, I left Brenda on the tarmac crying, holding that baby, 5, 6 weeks old. Flew off to India for 6 weeks. I couldn't get that picture out of my head the whole time I was there. I'd never been so homesick in my life the whole time I was over there. I prayed every morning. I prayed an hour in tongues every day, an hour in tongues every night. People thought I was spiritual. I was just trying to get over my homesickness. That wasn't being spiritual. I had to do that to get up, and I had to do that to go to bed every night. But anyway, this time was the first time. Yeah, I remember now. And I didn't have anybody to go with me because the guy had to back out the last minute. Now, I'm fixing to go off to India. I was 24 at the time. And, and I had a fire and a passion to preach. And, you know, I'd done a lot of ministry even by that time. But that's a long trip, you know. Get on a plane, take off, don't know anybody. I knew the guy's son that I was going to go see, an Indian guy in our church. And I was lined up to preach in all kinds of churches and all kinds of meetings, in a Bible school and several churches. So I was just praying in the Holy Ghost. I was going to do it. I mean, I wasn't going to back out. But I was praying in the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God spoke to me about an ear problem that the guy I was staying with was having, an inner ear problem, while I was praying in the Holy Ghost. Completely just off, you know, not even what I was praying about. Now, that was a word of knowledge. I wouldn't have known that any other way. He never said a word about it. I didn't know he'd gone to the doctor about it. I didn't know anything that had gone on. I was just praying, getting ready for a service that night. We went and sat down to eat before that service, and I sat down and I prayed. And when I prayed over the meal, I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you're healing that inner ear problem in my brother's ear." And when I got through and said, "Amen," in Jesus' name, amen, he was going like that. He said, "What?" He said, "How did you know that?" I said, "What?" He said, "That I had an inner problem." I said, "Well, I was praying and back in that room, and the Holy Ghost told me that." But that's a word of knowledge. I wouldn't have known that any other way. He hadn't told me. No one said anything to me about it. Does that happen all the time? No, it does not happen all the time. I mean, I'm telling you things that happen over 30 years. Are you with me? But that would be something I would not have known any other way, a supernatural word of knowledge that comes that you could not have known. I mean, unless somebody told you and he didn't tell me. Hello. And often you will see people that move in that in services. Maybe there's a revival going on or a crusade or something going on, and somebody will call somebody out. You say, "Well, I thought they exposed a lot of those guys." They have. They exposed a lot of the charlatans, but they're still the real.
That's right.
Are you with me? "Well, I saw where they did a piece on Primetime on that, and they caught this guy, and he had an earpiece in his mouth, and there's a guy back there telling them what's wrong with these people." I got no problem with that. People do all kinds of weird things. But you know what? That doesn't change the real gift. Well, he might have had a mouthpiece in his ear. I don't know. But did I say that? Okay. Well, you know what I meant. Okay. Yeah, earpiece in his ear. Another guy had a mouthpiece in his mouth. That's the way it went. Yeah. Okay. Oh, you've seen all that. You know, people do all kinds of weird things. And sure, but see, don't throw out the real because there's been some fakes out here. Of course there's fake miracles and fake healings, and people are exposed, you know, for abusing all this. Don't neglect the real. There is the real.
Amen.
See, there is the real. Hallelujah. And I know that because it's right here. It says so.
That's right.
It's in the Bible. Are you with me? So it says here that's wherever that mouthpiece was. It says the one is given the word of wisdom, word, not all wisdom, not everything is going to happen, just a word, just like the prophet. God would show them something predictive, and they'd write it down, or they would prophesy it or share it. They didn't know everything about the future. They didn't walk around with their eyes in the future. God just showed them something, and they recorded it. Hello. It didn't mean they operate, turned it on and off whenever they wanted to. Because a lot of times we have that idea, if someone flows in that, just go up to them and get you a word. Well, no, you can't do that, not unless the Holy Ghost moves. If the Spirit, see, it says one is given by the Spirit. It's not a switch we could turn off. Or I can just stand up here and just prophesy every service. I just get up there, since I do, you know, flow in interpretation of tongues, I'll just get up here and interpret every single service. I can't do that. Many times, I don't have anything. Hello. And if I had it all the time, 24/7, wouldn't be God. I'm sorry, this wouldn't be God. Because you'd just be an open vessel. And all, we just line up at your house and we just get you to tell us everything's going on in our lives all day long. Now, having said that, if you do flow in that gift, we can get together and pray. And we can pray in the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? Sometimes the Spirit of God will move.
Yes,
so you understand the context the way I'm saying this. Because a lot of people are just going around looking for a word all the time. Listen, we give words here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. Right here. This is the greatest word you could get. And if God does move into one of these gifts, that's fine. But if He doesn't, you still got a good word. Got a good word. God's word. Most of the time, you just need to do this anyway. And most of the time when a gift comes, especially if it's a rebuke or a strong, instructive word, it's usually because you have not been doing this. That's not always a good thing when you get a word. Sometimes you get a word because you're so hard-headed, you won't do what God says. And some supernatural thing has to happen for God to move and open your eyes. Hello? Oh, come on now. I've had some pretty hard words before. I've had God speak to me very sternly before because I wasn't listening to Him. Because I was not doing what He said. Not all the time, but I mean, there's been times where that's happened. I don't want to talk about those. But anyway, ninth verse. I'm not airing all my dirty laundry out here. Come on now. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. Not faith that we all have. You know, the Bible says God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Romans 12:3. We also know in 2 Corinthians 4:13 that we all have the same spirit of faith. Isn't that right? And then again, is it 2 Peter 1, where it says, one, where those who have obtained like precious faith, I believe it's the second verse, to those who have obtained like precious faith, to those who have obtained like precious faith, in other words, 1:2, 2 Peter 1:1, okay. 2 Peter 1:1 says, Peter speaking to those who have obtained like precious faith. So we all have like precious faith like Peter had. We all have the same spirit of faith that Paul had when he said in 2 Corinthians 4:13. We all have the measure of faith, Romans 12:3. So what's he talking about here? This must be a special faith. This is not something everybody has. This is a special faith. Well, boy, you can believe God for anything like that. It comes, it's gone. It just comes on you, whatever you needed at that moment. I don't know. Daniel probably had it in the lion's den. I would think that'd be a special kind of faith. I just guessing. I mean, I don't know for sure, but it seemed like it would have been. And it came and it left. I don't think you normally just walk into a bunch of lions and we're just going to believe God here. You know what I mean? when he was put in that situation, I believe faith just fell on him. And it just clamped those lions' jaws. That's just, you know, my opinion. If you don't believe it, that's fine. I mean, I'm not saying God told me that. It just seems that way. I think it works with miracles. I think sometimes somebody be praying for someone and just grab a hold of them and jerk them out of the wheelchair and say, walk. Listen, you don't just normally do that, all right? Normally we're going to lay hands on you, believe God with you're healed, but I'm not going to jerk anybody out of a wheelchair unless God spoke to me and faith hit me. I might encourage them to move their legs, come on, do something you couldn't do, lay hands on them. That's different. When you see a guy, I've seen it happen. I have seen it happen where like they were turned into another man. I mean, something came all over them. I've even talked to them afterwards and asked them, what came on you? And they'd say, I don't know. But when I got through, I thought, my God, what did I do? Because the boldness just hit them. They reached over and a miracle took place. And they jerked that person out of the wheelchair and they walked. And when that happens, they're not staggering and stuttering. The miracle takes place. So sometimes that kind of faith will work with working in miracles. In an instantaneous thing. It doesn't happen all the time. They can't make it happen all the time. It's not working on them 24 hours. It just comes on them, boom, and then it's gone. And sometimes they're just shaking their head thinking, I can't believe I did that. I just can't believe I did that. You know, because something hit them. And I have seen that happen. So that's a different kind of faith. It's not the faith we all have. It's a faith given to who? To one, to another. Faith is not to everybody. So it couldn't be the measure of faith we all have. Couldn't be the like precious faith we all have. It has to be a different kind of faith because it only is given to one person or to one by the Spirit. So it says, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Everybody say gifts, plural? Yes. I like that because I've seen, and you've seen this too. If you've ever been in any crusades or evangelist or someone that operates, say, in miracles, it seems like some people just are more successful with one type of disease or in healing one area than others. And I've talked to evangelists said, you know, it seems like everybody I pray for has something wrong with their skin rash, they just get healed. Or it seems like everybody I talk to that has trouble seeing, God just does miraculous things for their eyes. And even in the Bible, you see that in Acts, the 8th chapter. Remember when Philip went to Samaria? It says, Philip went to Samaria, preached Christ to him. There was great joy in the city. It says, many sick of the palsy and many that were lame were healed. Isn't that a strange way to say it? It didn't say many were healed, period. It just says, many sick of the palsy and many that were lame were healed. So it seemed like he had that gift, gifts of healings in the area of lame and those sick of the palsy. Ooh, hallelujah. So there was a little distinction there. He wasn't the healer. Jesus was the healer. But in his life, God used him in the area of lame people and people sick of the palsy. Very, very distinct the way it writes that, where it says that. Acts 8 chapter, go read that. It says that. Now, Jesus' case, of course, Jesus had the fullness of the Spirit. He didn't have the Spirit. He had the Spirit, the Bible says, without measure. So it wasn't any different. Everything flowed with him. He actually operated in all the offices, too. Nobody else would ever do that. You couldn't operate in all the offices. Hello. Now, we do the works of Jesus as the body of Christ. Stay with me. That's not a cop-out, so don't say, well, I can't do it because Jesus did it and I'm not Jesus. But the Bible says we're supposed to do the work of Jesus. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do, and even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father, that whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." We are supposed to do the works of Jesus. But just an observation, you can see there are some ministries that seem to excel in one area over another. And even in miracles, you see that happening. And I think as the body of Christ as a whole, we all do what Jesus did. Be hard-pressed for any individual one of us to do everything Jesus did. And I think when Jesus said greater works than these, he's talking about quantity, not quality. There's just more of us now. Hello? There's more of us now, so we can do more in that sense because now we have him in us and his name we're using when we pray. And so the quantity, is greater, not necessarily the quality. If you don't believe that, well, I'll take you out of the lake to walk, and I'll let you walk across the lake for me one time. We'll see. Okay, anyway, back to his works. We should be doing his works, amen, and pray it in his name. In fact, we have a lot of people talking about or saying the doings, what Jesus did. We don't have a lot of people doing what Jesus said. Are you with me? We need to get doing it. Hallelujah. So here's a gift that comes, faith, and gifts of healings that come. How? By the same Spirit. By the same Spirit. I think some of the instantaneous healings in the Bible were gifts of the Spirit. That's sometimes what we have problems with. Someone will come down, we'll pray for them, nothing takes place right away, and we give up. No, don't give up. You keep holding on. You keep believing. Because you keep believing, you're going to get your manifestation. Don't get confused about a gift. You're wanting a gift to happen, and that doesn't always happen. Most cases, that doesn't happen. If it does, hey, more power to you, that's fine. But if it doesn't, you can still get your miracle. It may take a few days, it may take a while, but don't give up. Keep believing. Because if you lay hands on the sick in Jesus' name, the Bible says they shall recover. I believe they shall recover. And I believe when you pray, you ought to believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's what Jesus said in Mark 11:24. We know that whatsoever we pray or desire when we pray, believe that we receive them, we shall have them. We know that. Don't get that confused with these gifts. Many times an evangelist will come through, or a pastor or a minister will come through, and there will be an instantaneous miracle. Don't be confused. That's great. That's wonderful. But that's a gift. Most likely, that's a gift. And in many cases in Jesus' ministry, there were instantaneous miracles that took place. Just because you don't get an instantaneous manifestation doesn't mean you can't get your healing. Those things do happen, and thank God when they do. But those are gifts. That's not the normal course of events. That's not the normal way God does things. Hello? And even the gifts are not God's normal way of doing things. They're things he does spontaneous. They're things he does on occasion. They're things he does for variety's sake. I don't know why. He just does it. We'll go through services and no gift will move. And then all of a sudden there'll be a gift or two come in a service. I like that. That's spontaneous. Are you with me? God forbid that just we had every single service just a tongue interpretation, every single service, we get to where the familiarity of it, we'd cease to see God in it. We'd work it into the bulletin. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'd have our song service, we'd have our tongue interpretation, and we have our offering, and then we have one more tongue interpretation, and I do my message. See, after a while, it'd be so familiar to you that it would just be, oh, it's time to have the tongue now, or it's time to have the prophecy now, or it's time. See, if you did it every single service, it can't work that way. It can't work that way for several reasons. It's for one thing, it doesn't make sense, scripturally speaking, and there's no spontaneity to it, and there's no spirit to it. I like variety. I know sometimes we'll have somebody come through, or maybe even a regular service, and the Holy Ghost just fall. I mean, we'll just have just an awesome service. People fall out of their chairs and cry, and we have to carry people home because they're drunk in the Holy Ghost. But you know, that doesn't happen every service. And I wouldn't want that to happen every service. Because then we get so familiar with it. It wouldn't be a move of God. Hello. It'd be us just instituting it into, you know, our services. And we could just, like say, put it in a bulletin, just write it up. Now's the time for everybody to come up here and fall out. Come on. Let's help you all get drunk so we can carry you home, you know. Hello. I'm not making fun of these things. I'm saying that we ought to use some wisdom concerning these things. And that's why there's so much instruction in the Bible. That's why we have all this in the Bible. So we could recognize this, the true, when it does come. Hallelujah. And enjoy it. I think it's wonderful. I love moves of God. I love waves of the Spirit when they come. But, I want them to be waves. I want them to be moves. Because I'll get to where I'll despise it. And the Bible says, despise not prophesying. Hello. Okay. So he's talking about all these gifts. 10th verse to another, working of miracles. Everybody say working of miracles. I love that. Miraculous, the miracle. See, if a man doesn't have a leg, he'd need a miracle. Wouldn't need a healing. Need a miracle. If a child's born without something wrong with them, a deficiency, they'd need a miracle, not necessarily healing. Now, that's a technical point, and I believe God honors your faith. If you go in there and believe for healing to come and you lay hands on, they're going to get healed. But I don't care if it needs to be creative or it needs to be a healing. God do both. He can do a miracle and he can do a healing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. And of course, there are miracles that have nothing to do with the body whatsoever. The miracle of the feeding of 5,000. You've heard, you know, there are miracles in the Bible that took place. Remember when Elisha went out and this young man had lost his axe head. He borrowed the axe head, which was a lot of money back then. They were cutting trees down, the prophets were, to build a prophet's home. And it was quickly becoming a nonprofit organization because they lost the axe head. And the young man was crying. Elisha said, where did it go? And he says, right out here. And so he took a stick, Elisha did, threw it in the water, and the axe head floated. The Bible says it swam. Well, that'd be a miracle. when you agree. I mean, it swam, and of course the guy picked up and put it back on his axe. And I love that because when you think something can't happen, remember, the axe head swam. So don't do what? The iron did swim, yeah. You know, that'll help you because you may be facing an impossible situation, but remember, the iron did swim. God can do a miracle. Amen? And he is in the miracle business. And that, of course, that miracle took place, and you know, there wasn't anything really fairy tale about that. It wasn't pumpkins turning into coaches and mice turning into coachmen and, you know, nothing weird or strange like that. That's fairy tale stuff. The Bible miracles just make a lot of sense. When that axe head floated, he picked up, put it back on that axe, and he began to cut trees with it. Didn't have any supernatural power other than that. Wasn't the greatest axe head that ever lived. You know, hello. Didn't have anything in it. Was different. When God does a miracle, he always fits creation. You know, when he heals a leg, it walks like everybody else's leg. And heals eyes, they see like everybody else's eyes. It has the scent and the mark of the Creator on it. When Jesus did miracles and multiplied bread, he didn't multiply bread out of rocks. In fact, that's what the devil tried to get him to do. He multiplied bread out of bread. He multiplied fish out of fish. Because that's the way God does everything. God always multiplies fish out of fish. It's going on all the time. Fish are always multiplying. You just don't see the miracle of it. Jesus did it fast and close up. When he turned water into wine, well, water, when it gets under these vines and gets in those, you know, grapevines, it turns into wine. That's where wine comes from. So he just sped up the process when he turned water into wine and he drank it. It was wine like every other wine that everybody drank. So when God does a miracle, it has the scent of the Creator on it. It fits creation. Hello. You don't see things like pumpkins and turn into things and toads turn into princes and all that kind of stuff. Hello. I mean, when Jesus did things, although they were miraculous things, they weren't miraculous after they took place because there wasn't anything miraculous about a man walking. That's what legs were supposed to do. Y'all see that? So the miracle of the healing sure took place. The man born crippled or born blind. But once they saw like everybody else saw, because that's what eyes are supposed to do, and that's what legs are supposed to do, walk. Amen. Eyes are supposed to see. So healings and miracles that God does, they're kind of restorative. They put things back in order is what they do. Even when a word of encouragement comes to you by prophecy or tongue interpretation, you know what happens? It gets you out of that brown funk you're in. I've already dated myself. You probably don't know what that is if you're not over 20. But anyway, get you out of that, you know, out of that depression or whatever. It puts you back in the way you're supposed to be. When a word of encouragement comes and you're encouraged and joy comes back in your life, that's the way you're supposed to be. What God does is restore you and put you back where you're supposed to be. Gifts of the Spirit, miracles, healings, all these things, they restore. They put us back where we're supposed to be. Oh, I love that. Hallelujah. Y'all still with me? Okay. Man, the time is just flying by. Okay. 10th verse, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, and that would be to encourage, edify, and exhort. Hold your place there and look at 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians. Just hold your place because we'll go back to it. 14 verse 3, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Y'all see that? Okay, so when he talks about prophecy in general here, he's talking about edifying, comforting, and exhorting people. He's not talking about predictions. That would be a word of wisdom. Although, the word of wisdom is prophesied out. It comes through prophecy. Remember me making that distinction about coffee and tea and milk and all that? So that's why I say that. How do I know what prophecy is? Because the Bible tells me. I don't have to speculate. I don't have to guess. There's no guesswork involved here. He tells us right there in 1 Corinthians 14:3, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. There you go. Got the big three right there. You know what the big three are? Edify, comfort, exhort. That's what it's intended to do. That's what prophecy is for. So when he says over here in 1 Corinthians 12, turn back if you will, in 1 Corinthians 12, 10th verse, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, that would be someone who edifies, comforts, and exhorts through prophecy. And really, that's about the equivalent of a tongue, interpretation of a tongue. Don't have time to get in that. We'll get into that in detail later when we get in the 14th chapter. But when a tongue is given, an interpretation is given, generally it's the equivalent of a prophecy that's given. You say, well, why don't we just prophesy out? Well, because you don't pick who does what. God does. And if God chooses to do a tongue interpretation, that's His business. You know, I've had people say, well, why do you give a tongue interpretation when the Bible says that a prophecy does the same thing? Well, because I don't choose what's given. God does. We don't get up there and say, okay, I think we need a word of wisdom. Well, you know, we don't plan these things out. They come as the Spirit wills. And if God wants to give a tongue interpretation, that's His business. That's not our business. Or if He wants to give a prophecy, that's His business. I've heard churches say, well, you know, we just don't do the tongue interpretation anymore. We just do prophecies, that's all. Because I think that's just a waste of time, the tongue and the interpretation. Prophecy is equivalent to that. We're just going to take prophecies. Well, now, there's a problem here because the 14th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians also says, forbid not to speak with other tongues. Hello? The sad note is a lot of churches, we do forbid to speak in tongues. Hello? And I'm not blasting anybody. Good Lord, I love you. I'm for you. I'm just telling you, repent. Get right with God. Okay. God, we love you. But it's a lack of teaching. We're just not taught this thing. And so just to keep from having a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, we just forbid it altogether. We just don't have it. Hello. And that's a problem. We don't want to fall in that category. Are you with me? Now, of course, we're going to have times where I'm getting way ahead of myself. There are times when there have been several tongues and interpretation in a service, and you need to stop it because the Bible says so. It tells you, let it be by two, the most by three. Let it by two, the most by three. Hello. So, you know, actually, if you've got three tongues, you need to shut her down. I didn't say that. God did. You know, and that's what I'm up here for as a pastor, kind of catch the flow of the Spirit. Because sometimes the timing's not right. Sometimes you may feel something for someone, but it's not really the timing in the church service to do it. And I might even say, you know, hold that or wait or whatever. I'm not forbidding to speak. That's not what I'm doing. We just sense the Spirit going another direction. And that's what I'm here for. That's my office. That's what I'm up here. You have a leader and you have a pastor for that purpose. And, you know, if a minister's up here, then he would have the run, as it were, of the flow of the Spirit. If that's not the case, then everybody else could just jump up at any time and say, I've got something, and I've got something. Hello, and I've got something. There'd just be continual interruption. And it's interpretation, not interruption. Interpretation, not interruption. Okay. So, 10th verse, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. Everybody say discerning of spirits. That's not the spirit of discernment. That is the discerning of spirits. A lot of people have the gift of discernment. That really, I would call that the gift of suspicion. That's not a gift of the Spirit. That's where you're just suspicious of people and you don't feel right about somebody. No, the discerning of spirits actually is seeing of spirits. It'd be like visions, when someone had visions. John's prophecy was a great vision that he had. Peter had a vision at Joppa, you know, while he was on the housetop. He saw into the spirit world. He discerned he saw spirits, some good, some bad. It's not discerning whether someone has a good spirit or not, because we don't have a precedent for that. We don't have that in the Bible. But it is seeing into the spirit. It's seeing spirits is what it is. It'd be like a vision or an open vision. We have many of those in the Bible where people saw into the spirit or saw a vision or had a vision. Hello. The other one that we call, a lot of people even call it a gift of discernment. That's just the gift of suspicion. That's a tenth gift, and it's not from the Spirit. I know people have that, don't even know Jesus. Hello. Come on, y'all help me now. So he says here, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Now that's the nine gifts that he lists there. That, you know, obviously, interpretation of tongues would be when a tongue is given. This is not when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues. This is when a tongue is given in the church and an interpretation is given to that tongue. It's different than your prayer language. Hello. Because you don't interpret that. Or at least they did in Acts 2, and they did in Acts 10, they did in Acts 19. They were all filled with the Spirit in Acts 2 and Acts 10 and Acts 19. And it doesn't say they one had a word of wisdom, one had a word of knowledge, one had gift of faith. No, it says they all spoke with tongues. So that's something different than the gift of tongues that he's talking about here. Now, one way you can divide these up, y'all got five, give me 5 minutes, I'll do this. If you're writing notes, this will help you. I always like to do it this way because it's easy to categorize these gifts this way. And I've seen it done this way with slightly different labels. But there's nine gifts mentioned here. You might say three categories. First category would be gifts that reveal something or gifts that show you something. And in that category would be the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Let me explain that. The word of wisdom shows the future. It reveals the future. The word of knowledge reveals the present, something going on that you wouldn't have known any other way. Maybe God showed you something going on in someone's life or something was wrong with them physically, an ailment or something. That would be a revelation, something revealed, something shown. And then discerning spirits is seeing into the spirit, a vision. So those are gifts that reveal something. Then there's the next category, be gifts that do something. Gifts of healings. Obviously, there's a manifestation of healing that takes place. Gifts of working of miracles. Obviously, that is a manifestation also. That does something. It's an action gift. It acts. It does something. And I threw faith in there with it because faith generally works with one of those. I mean, why would you have faith to do something if you're not doing anything? And I've seen it categorized that way. I didn't come up with that. I mean, I read it in a lot of different books, and it makes good sense to me. It's not engraved in stone. It's not the Holy Ghost saying how to categorize them. It just helps you remember what they are and how they fit into those categories. So you've got the gifts that reveal something, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning spirits. You have gifts that do something or active gifts. That's gifts of healings, working of miracles, and gifts of faith. And then you have what are just vocal gifts, gifts that speak. Now, I realize these overlap because word of wisdom and all that speaks. But the gifts that speak would be tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Nothing predictive in them. Not a word of knowledge really involved in it. There's no action really involved. It's just vocal gifts, gifts that speak. Got that? So we have gifts that reveal something, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of discerning spirits. We have gifts that do something, gifts of healings, gifts of working of miracles, gift of faith. And then we have gifts that are vocal. Vocal gifts, spoken gifts, which tongues, interpretation of tongues, and then prophecy, which edifies, comforts, and exhorts. According to 1 Corinthians 14:3. Now that just is an easy way to look at them, and you can just categorize them and compartmentalize them just in your mind so you can get a quick reference point. What does this do? What does that do? What does that give? Hallelujah. And we're going to get into, you know, some detail about these gifts and how they should operate in the church. And answer some questions that are pretty prevalent when it comes to the gifts about them passed away. Do all speak with tongues? Those kinds of questions.